Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Nick had the day off yesterday. He had scheduled that particular day off, a vacation day, because you went to Colorado to visit family.
Yeah.
And while you were there, of course, you're in the great outdoors and you're in the Rocky Mountains. You're going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, so my brother Adam turns 40 this year. Adam lives down in Virginia. My brother Josh lives out in Colorado, and my dad spends about half the year out there. And for my brother's, Adam's 40th birthday, he wanted to do a mountain climb with me and my other brother Josh. And so we decided that this weekend would work. It was the only weekend really on the whole year that was good for everybody. So you guys were gracious enough to give me the day off yesterday. I flew out Friday after the show.
Are you all climbers? Would you all hike?
Josh has been doing it a lot. Josh moved out there about a year and a half ago, and he's lost like 60 or 70 pounds by being in Colorado.
That's awesome.
He's gotten into real great shape. And
I need to move there.
Well, when you live in a place like Colorado, you just tend to be outside more often. Yeah. And you have access to, I think it's 53 different mountains that are over 14,000 feet.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They call them 14ers. And so Adam wanted to climb a 14er because he was turning 40 this year. So we said, sure, let's do it this weekend. My dad spends about half the year out in Colorado, so we were going to visit him as well. And so I flew out Friday after the show, got in, had a really nice dinner. And then we got up before dawn on Saturday morning to head to this mountain called Mount Bierstadt. It's about 50 miles west of Denver, up into the Rockies. And it's a relatively easy 14er to climb. And that's why Josh chose it. There's a little town called Georgetown. You drive above that. And you're in the wilderness at that point, park on the trailhead, and you go.
How removed are you when you are climbing?
You're in the wilderness, you know, so you're removed from people, but it's a oft-traveled climb, and
right.
So there were a lot of people in the parking lot when we got there, and we got right. there like 5:30, something like that.
Okay.
So we park at the trailhead, we're stretching, and honestly, like, I felt great. I got a decent night's sleep the night before. I felt strong. I've been doing some climbing here and there over the last 7 or 8 years, and there are days where you just don't feel like doing it, and other days where you feel weak, but Saturday morning, I felt great.
Raring to go.
Raring to go, felt strong. So a mile into the hike.
Let's do this.
Let's do this. Yes.
So did you put on some Madonna?
Should have.
To get yourself ready?
Totally should have. A quick side note.
Yeah.
I flew Southwest, and I believe it's a Southwest rule, but I think it's a rule for all domestic flights. If you are not checking a bag, you're not allowed to take trekking poles with you. And I have really good trekking poles, and I was driving to the airport, and I wasn't going to check my bag because getting in off the plane's faster when you don't check a bag. So I left my trekking poles in the car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that comes in important. That's an important detail.
See, so for me, and so I do more trail than there's not
we've
many
talked
mountains
about this.
Yet. But trekking poles are, when you are starting to ascend anything, they're awesome. And they're invaluable.
And when you're coming down, it really saves your leg
a
lot. And so I love having them. But I figured, you know what, this is a relatively easy 14er, and I won't need them on this trip. I'll be fine without them.
All right, real quick.
Yeah.
So start to finish, you from the time you start to the top of the mountain to the time you get back, how far of a hike is it?
7 miles in and out.
All right, so three and a half back?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
So it's really not that difficult.
Yeah.
And you start around 10, and you go to 14 plus, and it was picture-perfect morning. There was not a cloud in the sky. So the first mile of the hike is really easy. Actually, some of it's even downhill.
Yeah.
And then you get to the stream, and you cross the stream, in theory. You cross the stream, and then you go up the mountain. That's where the real ascent begins. So I'm feeling good, and I'm hiking along, and my brother's in a great mood, and I'm in a great mood, and we're cruising.
This part of the trail is,
it's flat.
Yeah.
You know,
Stephen Hawking could rock this, no problem.
No problem.
Yeah.
It's a mountain trail, it's bumpy in
yeah,
spots.
Yeah, so he puts the treads on.
Right.
I mean, he's dead, obviously, when he was alive. Yeah.
So we get to the stream, and Josh crosses the stream first, has his trekking poles, gets across, no problem. Oh. Adam is second, and he crosses behind Josh. And slips a little bit. And so I wait, but, feeling fine. But it was slippery and it was icy that morning because we were at, 10,000 plus feet, and it gets to be winter already in the mountains. They got snow in Breckenridge this past weekend. So crossing the stream, I am literally one rock away from getting to the other side of the stream.
Oh, man.
Josh reaches out with his trekking pole, and then I grab it to stable myself and balance. But I relied on it too much. And so, but all of this happens in an instant, right? So I slip off of the one rock. What I should have done in retrospect, A, I should have brought my trekking poles, but I didn't. I really shouldn't have tried to climb across the rocks. I should have gone through the bottom of the stream and just gotten my feet wet, and I would have been fine. But I didn't do that. I decided to cross on the slippery rocks instead. So I lose my balance, and I start to fall. And when I fall, my right leg ends up wedged in between two other rocks.
Mm.
And then I fall again. And I hear the pop, and I hear the snap.
So an audible pop.
I felt it right away, Steve.
Oh,
I knew. So my right leg was wedged in between the two rocks, and my body continued to fall, and there was no way that my right leg could move. And
so Which way did you fall?
To my left, and my right leg was pointing straight up at that point. So I shifted all the way to the left, but my right leg did not.
Okay. So that's that. So you hear an audible pop.
I hear the pop. I hear the snap.
Because of the flowing water, it moves your body and rips your foot off.
No.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
No, but I mean, so you're there.
Then I fall into the creek at this point.
Now you're sitting in the stream.
I'm in the stream, and it's cold, and it's, you know, pre-dawn. And my initial thought was, well, crap, I just broke my leg. But then my second thought was, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was, and it just hurts, and I'll be okay in a second. And I start to crawl a little bit. And, you know, sometimes when you fall, you get embarrassed, or you think, everybody's watching me. I didn't have that thought at all because of how much pain I was
in. Okay. Right. All right.
Immediate
bad pain. So I start crawling through the creek to get to the other side, and then I'm angry at myself now, and I'm yelling the F-bomb over and over again. And I turn to Josh and Adam, my brothers, and I say, I heard a pop, and I felt it. So they know not to lift me, and they basically drag me through the creek bed to get to the other side. There's a sort of a bank on the other side of the stream, and I prop myself
like
into
a Wells
that.
Fargo or TD or
no, like a bed.
Oh, I'm sorry,
just the side of the creek.
Was it when they were moving you? Did it hurt worse?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything hurt at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So the next hour was terrible. And I was in a lot of pain, and I was cold, and I started feeling like maybe I was going into shock a little bit. However, there were a lot of people that were passing by.
Because it's right at the beginning of the trip.
It's a mile in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is at the beginning of the trip, at the beginning of the weekend.
This is where grandma walks into this part and says, have a good walk.
Honestly, like, if my dad wanted to go, he could have done this part. This was the easy part.
All right, boys, have a good time.
See you later. The difficult part of the ascent had not yet begun.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, you had to sit there for a whole hour?
So one of the first people that passes had an emergency beacon on him. And so he activated that, and then we had to figure out what to do. So Josh and Adam had to determine whether or not they wanted to try to carry me back and put my arms around their shoulders and hike the mile out. And
but you still you would have had to cross the stream again?
I would have had to cross back across the stream, yeah. So we decide that that's not a good idea, that we don't know how quickly this emergency beacon thing is going to work. And it was not ours. It was somebody else who was passing by.
And no cell phone service?
No cell phone service whatsoever. No, we are in the wilderness at this point. So Josh decides, all right, what we're going to do is he's going to haul ass back to the trailhead, back to the parking lot, and try and get service. And his car was there. Mm-hmm. So Adam stayed with me. Josh hauled back, and at some point, he was able to get cell phone service, and so he called 911. And the town that's closest is a town called Georgetown, Colorado, and they sent up paramedics and EMTs.
Did they? So I'm curious with the emergency beacon. Was that received, and was there already help on the way through that?
Yes. So it's a pretty fascinating process.
So they don't know what's happening.
They
don't.
No.
Okay.
They're sending
three helicopters, and
they know where it is.
Uh-huh.
They don't know what's happening.
Right.
So if we had been a mile up further, it would have been the helicopter. I would have been medevaced out of there. But what the emergency beacon did was send Alpine search and rescue. And so the EMTs come, the paramedics come, and then Alpine Search and Rescue comes.
Oh, no.
Listen, I was embarrassed at the number of people who were there to try to help me get out. It was a small army of, it was all guys.
And how many people?
12.
12.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you know what? Here, I have their names because I want to thank a couple of them. But
a dozen people.
It was unreal. But these guys, this is what they live for. They are pros. They knew exactly what to do. The EMTs, when they arrived, which was about an hour later. So I sat there for an hour as people were passing by.
Right.
And I was getting cold. But two people left me emergency blankets. You know, those ones you see when people run.
Yeah, they look like tinfoil.
Look like tinfoil.
We have. So Marissa was just in my ear saying we have video of this.
Yeah. So Adam took some video.
What?
And, we can post some of that. I put some on my Twitter feed this morning, and I'll put some on Instagram and Twitter throughout the day.
Which clip are we sending to AFV?
We don't have the actual fall.
Oh, okay.
You guys, by the way, here's a text from somebody. It says, Nick should join the Army. This injury is like a prerequisite. It happens all the time during ruck marches.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's pretty common. I mean, you know, you don't have to be scaling a treacherous incline to fall and roll your ankle or break something. You know?
No, Preston, I was on. So I am always on the Wissahickon Trail all the time, in and out. And I told you it was a couple months ago. I'm going up the path and down, Nick. There's a guy between two guys with his leg dragging, and he rolled his foot walking across, trying to go across the creek at a shallow part. Same thing happened.
It's easy. So, it's easy to do.
We have video running. Kathy, are you looking at this?
Yeah.
Look at all these guys.
There's so many people. God,
it's like a bucket brigade, and they're passing Nick along.
Oh, my God.
In this.
They put a helmet on them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This gurney.
They had a helmet that fit your head?
Dude, I'm not kidding.
Double XL, please.
I said to the guy, I was like, listen, I got a really large head. I don't know if this is going to fit. And the lead EMT guy says, it's okay, I have a large head too.
Yeah.
And so he let me borrow
it's
one of
them. It's not a helmet, it's a salad bowl.
One thing that made me feel a little bit better was that this is sad to say, but as I was lying there in the creek or next to the creek for an hour, a lot of other people fell. So I felt better about myself because I was the only one falling across this thing.
Right.
Fortunately, nobody else got injured. So it was the Clear Creek EMS, and they were the guys out of Georgetown, John and Mike and Daniel, and then the EMTs were from Cedar Creek. Those were the paramedics in the Alpine Search and Rescue. Rick, Eric, Tom, Mike, Griffin, and Bobby, and then Kurt was the lead guy. And he said, hey, and I had a Flyers head on. He said, hey, you from Philly? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I grew up there, spending my whole life there. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know MMR? And he's like, oh, yeah, I love MMR. I was like, yeah, I work on the morning show. You work with Preston and Steve.
Are you serious?
Swear to God. So, Kurt, this one's for you.
That's amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
Did you punch in on the beacon code? Did you punch in the 3-digit code for radio personality?
Yeah.
That's why they took an hour.
I'm on radio.
Nick,
TV would have been in a half hour.
I have felt like this before. It wasn't a dozen people, but when I was a kid, I was probably in like fourth grade. We were skiing, and I wiped out, and I messed up my leg. I had, you know, a strained, almost torn ligament. So they had to send up a snowmobile, like three or four people, and they had to splint me up and carry me down the mountain. Everybody's watching, and I felt like you probably did there going, oh, my God, all these people, and they're, you know.
You feel like a goon.
It's a fire truck. It's like a Christmas story.
It's a little embarrassing, the amount of fuss.
Oh, my God, I called the police.
Holy cow, it's the fire department. it is. It's embarrassing. However, this is what these guys are trained to do. It's what they're incredibly great at, and I felt completely safe in their hands. And so the reason that there were 12 of them is that they load you into this what's the name of the thing that they put in the back of the ambulance?
A gurney?
A gurney, but it's got one wheel underneath. So it's like
it's a gurn, then.
A gurn. Yeah. A gurning.
It's a gurning.
Somebody sits there and makes a funny face.
Yeah. It's a glorified wheelbarrow, really.
Yeah,
There's one wheel that goes underneath it, and then the ambulance gurney on top. But they have 12 guys because it's four people carrying you out, and they switch. They rotate. So it's three guys, one guy on the left, one guy on the right, one guy on the front, one guy in the back. They'll do a team of four. They'll take you, a quarter of a mile, and then they'll switch, and then the other team rotates in. So these guys knew exactly what they were doing.
Down to a science. Oh my God! Like, you can see, obviously, this is what. Now, mind you, you're on the pecking order. You're a low level injury. Yeah. You realize that they'll go up all the way. It's an astonishing thing that they're able to.
They've had to.
Just a quick question about search and rescue. Are they volunteers?
They are paid employees, but I don't know by whom. So there are search and rescue that work for the National Park Service, but we weren't on National Park land.
Yeah.
We were in Department of Agriculture land, so I don't know who employs them. I don't know if it's the state or the county or what.
Yeah, and so when I was in Utah this past summer, our tour guide, that's what he does on the side, is he's a...
And is he paid?
He's a search and rescue guy, yeah.
You can do it in ski patrol. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. One guy that was hiking on Bierstadt this morning on his way down stopped and took really great care of me. And he was ski patrol in the winter. And so he was trained for this kind of stuff as well.
But, like, I wonder, like, if, when you get in an ambulance, you know, your health insurance has to kick in and pay for that. Is there something that you're going to have to
same
pay for
the search? Same with the search and rescue guys.
Yeah,
too,
so
yeah.
I'm very curious to see what the bill is going to be.
Okay.
Because they had to take me in an ambulance from the top of the mountain from the wilderness and the parking lot in Bierstadt all the way down through Georgetown and the 50 miles back to Denver. So we went to St. Anthony's Hospital in Lakewood, Colorado, and I met Anna, who went to Upper Dublin High School and has been living in Colorado for 3 years. She was my ER nurse. She took great care of me, and she's a big fan of MMR as well. There's a lot of people out west.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, so the ambulance ride will be expensive. I don't know how much it's going to be. Yeah. It's not nearly as expensive as the medevac would have been.
Well, you made them stop for food, didn't you?
Well, I'm hungry. I hadn't eaten much. Josh made an egg sandwich.
I want to get some bagels.
It's a 50-mile ambulance ride, and I have health insurance, and they took me to a hospital that was fortunately in-network, but I don't know what these bills are going to be. It's going to be interesting to see.
We got a number of techs that are wondering exactly what the injury was, so what was the result of this fall?
It's a broken distal fibula, which is you have two bones in your lower leg. The femur is the big bone in the upper part of your leg, and then you have the tibia and the fibula in the lower part of your leg. And I broke my fibula. It's just above the ankle where the break was. So that's what the pop was. That's what I heard. And
could you imagine if it wasn't a pop and you just like fell in a Ziploc bag that was carrying like nuts that you were eating?
Yeah. I heard a pop.
Yeah.
It's like when Ross rolls over on the juice box.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, God.
No, it was a break. It wasn't a Ziploc bag. Yeah. So I have a walking boot now, and I have I called Dr. Mike on Saturday later in the day, and he yelled at me and asked me what I had done and blamed me for falling.
Yeah.
I have an appointment with an orthopedist later this week, and so they'll determine whether or not I have to have surgery. Very likely that I won't have to have surgery, and I probably won't have to have a cast. It'll probably just be this walking boot.
Well, that's good. What about your little bagel cart mobility scooter? Is that
rollaway?
The rollabout.
Yeah. The rollabout. Yes.
It does have a basket for bagels and such.
Yes.
And I was jonesing for it. I hadn't had to do many stairs until I got home last night. I flew home yesterday, and I was staying with my dad in his place. I was just living on the first floor. So going up and down stairs, I'm on crutches now. That's a giant pain in the ass. I forgot what a pain crutches are.
Oh, yeah.
You can't carry anything.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx it. I've never had to use them. And
they suck.
There was a woman out at the Burger Brawl. She had just had sort of a similar injury. I told her about your thing. She had the boot on, and she had her vehicle, her little cart. But it wasn't. Apparently, there are more all-terrain versions of that. She had like an interior one, and she was having a little bit of difficulty.
I want the all-terrain one.
Yeah.
So I'll be in crutches for probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. And then the one danger, and I talked to Dr. Mike about this the other day, is that when you have an injury like this, you could get blood clots while flying afterwards.
Right.
So I have had to be on aspirin since Saturday morning, but got home safe and sound. I got to fly in the front row in Southwest, which was nice.
While you were gone yesterday, we were talking about it, and not on air, but we were kind of joking around that maybe you're not quite cut out for physical activity. But Nick hikes a lot.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of challenging hikes. So this is just, I think the more you do this, chances are it's going to happen eventually.
Oh, right. I know. Ultimately, like I have not had anything, which I'm amazed. There are times when I thought where I've rolled my ankle and I'm thought, okay, this is it. And I didn't have anything. So hopefully I'm not, the clock isn't ticking on me, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, hopefully it was just you. No, I'm kidding. it's the kind of thing that is very simple to do. And it never comes on that precarious, you know, hanging off a cliffside. It's that thing that you are sort of just very comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that's where it happens.
Slippery rock in a creek, man. One of the first thoughts I had was, I got to get back here. I have to beat this mountain because it kicked my ass this time around. So I'll go back. I'll do it again.
Somebody texted and said if Nick was a superhero, his supervillain would be Madonna and his weakness would be slippery rocks.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, I was dancing in a wedding 11 years ago and ruptured my Achilles and tore a calf muscle dancing to Madonna at a wedding. So this injury was slightly manlier than that.
Yeah. Was it the same foot?
Same foot, leg? Same leg. Yeah, that injury was worse, though. I had to have a cast for that, and that was like 8 weeks. But if you remember, The Phillies went on to win the World Series that year.
Oh,
so,
you're setting us up.
This leg injury bodes well for the rest of the
season. Hey, how far from the hospital was the closest marijuana store?
About 80 yards.
Okay.
So the marijuana is legal recreationally and medically in Colorado. And was able to partake in that on the way out. And
there you go.
That's good, yeah. I'd much rather take that than Oxy, although I have Oxy as well.
Wow.
And I don't want to take too much of that.
Right, exactly. Wow. So how long on the crutches?
Probably,
couple months?
Probably 4 to 6 weeks on the crutches, but the orthopedist will be able to give me a better prognosis later this week, either tomorrow or Thursday, when I go and see that doctor. Thanks so much to the paramedics. Thanks to the EMTs. Thanks to the Alpine Search and Rescue. Thank you to my brothers, Adam and Josh, and my dad for taking awesome care. Thank you to my girlfriend for driving me into work this morning. And this injury could have been a million times worse. I could have hit my head.
Oh my God.
You know, I could have been a mile up and had to be medevaced out of there. So
tons of ways.
It sucked and it's annoying, but I'm fine. And I was laughing about it that day. I called you, Preston. I was already making fun of myself because what else are you going
to
do?
I know you're really upset, though, because you've been planning for months now to walk the runway at the Bitch Box party.
It was, yeah.
On Thursday.
We have a substitute.
We'll find a comfortable seat, and we do have a substitute.
Yeah. We do, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, was it your right or left leg?
Right leg.
So driving.
Oh, what about driving?
Yeah, driving. Like, yeah, my girlfriend drove me into work this morning.
Oh.
Driving's going to be a bitch. Sleeping's hard. Showering is difficult. Like, everything that you do while standing or anything, sitting, whatever.
Do you need one of those seats for the shower?
I had one on Saturday. Or no, Sunday. Yeah, I had one.
But more than anything, driving, man. I mean, it's not just to work, but to wherever you may need to get around. And go, yeah, right. Yeah. Me either.
You live closest. Soccer practice for Ben and all sorts of stuff is going to be hampered by this. So getting around becomes you have to do everything a lot more slowly. And you guys know me; I'm already pretty damn slow. But this is gonna it puts a crimp in everything. You have to learn how to be patient. You have to learn how to take your time. You have to learn to plan ahead and carry things with you if you're going to go certain places. So.
How much earlier did you have to get up this morning?
I got up like 15 minutes earlier. You know,
okay,
so I mean, like you just have to anticipate it. And being on crutches is just a giant pain in the ass.
All right, well, breaking a bone sucks, man.
Yeah.
You know, but a few weeks, hopefully you'll be walking around on your own by the time the Camp Out for Hunger rolls around.
Yes.
So
be good to go.
And we'll get you set up with a comfortable seat at the Bitch Box party.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, there's Nick's story, broken leg. This time, a little bit more manly than Madonna.
Yeah.
Was hiking a 14er.
Not much. It was not flat much. Ground.
Well, he hadn't even made it.
I was looking at the stream.
You said you got.
We call it a crick. I mean, you can call it.
I call it spilled water.
You said cool. You got kudos from that quadruple amputee who passed you on the trail.
Yeah.
It was slippery.
Get the whole Preston and Steve show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.